set in the social hall after the service. Please bring some change, big heavy ones, and help our kids help kids throughout the world. Set up for the Little Church of Horrors, our Halloween fundraiser, starts in earnest this week. If you would like to help today, after the service and the auction, the pallets and material under the trees behind the shed need to be moved to the moat by the back door for cleaning. Do I have signs of eager interest there? And help is needed all week from building and decorating through participating in the event as an actor or guide. All right. Today is your last chance to bid on items in LCUUC's Time, Talent, and Treasure silent auction. And here's what you need to know, or some of it. The auction will close at 12 noon. And you'll be warned beforehand, so. But now this is a serious warning. Note that we are not set up to accept payment today. However, you will be able to take items home that you've won if you really want to. Auction volunteers will start handing out invoices next Sunday, October 26th. The silent auction is a vital part of our annual fundraising efforts. The money raised from this year's auction will be used in two areas: making improvements to our building in order to be compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act, and supporting our involvement with Family Promise of Western Waukesha County. There are so many fun and wonderful things being offered. Please spend some time in the social hall after the service perusing the tables. Thank you and happy bidding. And pause for a moment and imagine LCUUC without music. Don't worry, it's not going to happen. But if in that pause you came to recognize the importance to you of music at LCUUC, please consider lending your voice and hands to the growing music program here at LCUUC. The music committee meets next Sunday after the service. See Christy Ayler or Nancy Bratt for more information. Our speaker and presenter today is Oliver Schminke, a genderqueer poet activist who is the director of the McAllister Poetry Slam, the founder and facilitator of Well Placed Commas, a weekly community poetry workshop, and one of the hosts of Outspoken, a queer open mic. They have competed on various nationally ranked poetry teams, and they also tour nationally performing poetry and leading educational workshops. Ollie Renee has also performed and published work with 20% Theater, the theater companies The Naked Eye, Insides Out, and they tour locally with this show. They are the author of one chapbook, The Taste of Iron, and they are published in Right Bloody and Andrea Gibson's anthology, We Will Be Shelter. Thank you.
Our opening words today are from Invocation by Angela Herrera. Don't leave your broken heart at the door. Bring it to the altar of life. Don't leave your anger behind. It has high standards, and the world needs vision. Bring them with you, and your joy, and your passion. Bring your loving and your courage and your conviction. Bring your need for healing and your power to heal. Here is work to do, and you have all that you need to do it right here in this room. Come, let us worship together. Please take a moment to say hello and introduce yourself to the people sitting around you.
How does a part of the world leave the world? No matter how fast you run, your shadow keeps up. Sometimes it's in front. Only full overhead sun diminishes your shadow. But that shadow has been serving you. What hurts you blesses you. Darkness is your candle. Your boundaries are your quest. You must have shadow and light source both. Listen and lay your head under the tree of awe. Please rise in body or spirit and join me in singing our opening hymn, number 1053 in the Teal Hymnal, How Could Anyone? Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive to surround this community with a spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Sue Andrews, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. LCUUC is a welcoming congregation. That means that each and every one of us is welcome here. Wherever you fall on the conventional far out scale, you are welcome here. Conforming or non-conforming, we are all welcome here. No matter whom you love or what pronouns you choose for yourself, you are welcome here. Cisgender, transgender, queer, all are welcome here. Whether you are hip to the conversation on gender or just tuning in, you are welcome here. And perhaps most important, whatever commands your reverence and brings you into this sacred space, you are welcome here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to all of you joining in, particularly in the little house of haunted horrors. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all electronics, these things. And again, welcome to all here this morning. We are so pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us this morning.
One of the ways that we care for our wider community is by contributing to our local food pantries, both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items, which we donate each month. If you have food items to share, please bring them forward at this time, or ask a child to bring them forward for you. And I invite the children to come forward and come to the front and enjoy an exploration in cultural anthropology. Someone is a boy or a girl, even with a very limited amount of information. And we're going to do this exploration through a game. So I have a bag of Beanie Babies here. And I'm going to reach into the bag and pull out a Beanie Baby. And I'm going to tell you something about it. Based on what I tell you, I want you to tell me if you think the Beanie Baby is a boy or a girl. And if you all agree, based on what I tell you, that the Beanie Baby is a boy, I'm going to put it over here by the sign that says boy. And if you think it's a girl, over there by the sign that says girl. And if we're not sure, I'm going to put it someplace in between. So are you guys ready to play?
Yeah.
All right, so reach into the bag. So this Beanie Baby is named Isabella. Do you think it is a boy or a girl?
Girl.
Girl? Or girl? Girl? Okay. This Beanie Baby is named Michael. Do you think it is a boy or a girl?
Boy.
This Beanie Baby is named Chris. Do you think it's a boy or a girl?
Boy. In the middle.
Not sure?
Middle either.
Okay. This Beanie Baby wears dresses and bows.
Girl.
This Beanie Baby wears a suit coat and a tie. This Beanie Baby runs around with no shirt on.
Boy.
This Beanie Baby has long hair.
In the middle.
In the middle.
This beanie baby likes to play with dolls. This beanie baby likes to play with trucks. This beanie baby is a fan of the Green Bay Packers. This beanie baby is a fan of figure skating. This beanie baby has a beard and a mustache. This beanie baby wears a pearl necklace. Okay. This beanie baby wears a ring. This beanie baby wants to be president of the United States.
Hillary Clinton.
Down there. This beanie baby has a high voice.
Middle.
Okay.
This beanie baby has a low voice.
Middle.
This beanie baby is a nurse. This beanie baby is a doctor. This beanie baby likes boys. Okay, this beanie baby likes girls. This beanie baby is married to a woman. Or in Wisconsin. Okay, I'm hearing some middle of the boy there. I'm going to set it right here, close to me. And this beanie baby is married to a man. Okay. So as you can see, we ended up with a number of beanie babies that we could not classify as either a boy or a girl with the information I supplied. And there was some confusion. We were saying boy or girl sometimes for this same beanie baby. So if our beanie babies could talk, I think that some of them, even the ones that we placed pretty definitely as boys or girls, would disagree with us and might correct us and say, you called me a girl, but I want to be called a boy. Or you called me a boy, and I want to be called a girl. Or I don't agree with either of those terms. We can never actually tell by how a person looks or behaves what their gender is. And even though we have a societal norm that makes us think that we can always label people as a boy or a girl, gender is really much more complicated than that. And we're going to be talking about that some more in the service today. So thanks, everybody, for helping with our exploration today. And Kaya, you're our lantern bearer. So can you wait for our lantern? And then we'll sing you out. Our song lyrics are in the order of service. This church is a community of ourselves. Its energy and resources are our energy and resources. Its wealth is what we share. As we contribute to the life of this community, we affirm our lives within it. The morning offering will now be given and received. Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the work of this community. This is a time in our service where we share our joys and concerns. We do this in two ways, by speaking them aloud and by lighting candles. If you have a joy or concern to share, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you a microphone. Tell us your name and briefly share your joy or concern.
Hi, my name is John, and I just wanted to express the joy of this autumn that we've had. I think it's just been exceptional. I don't know that I've ever seen as much yellow, and every year I exclaim about it, but I think this year was really something.
This is Laura, and Angel Troyer asked me to light a candle of concern joy for her this morning. Tomorrow she's going to admit herself to an outpatient therapy program to help with her depression. And she asks for all the good thoughts that she can get.
My name is Kirsten, and I have a joy. A year ago today, my daughter-in-law suffered a very serious traumatic brain injury. She fell when she was hiking, and I need to report that she's doing incredibly well. She's one of the success stories.
My name is Ray, and I guess some concern for my younger brother, who's been in intensive care for 2 weeks now from a bad infection he got after some surgery.
Hi, my name is Mark. You probably noticed me hobbling around, and I have joy that I went to the surgeon, and he said, no surgery, just you'll see me hobbling around for a while. It's just a severe sprain. But after going through the whole wrist surgery 2 years ago, I'm like dreading it, so I'm not going to have it.
Hi, this is Ginger. I have a candle of joy for my beautiful, wonderful daughter who is home on fall break from Griffin
Hi, my name is Barb. Yesterday afternoon, I was doing the fall transition of summer clothes away and stuff, and I came across a bag of photographs that traced our family history from this one picture of me as a newborn and all the wonderful and sometimes terrible things we went through together. And I'm so grateful to have this family. My parents are long gone, but they live on in my heart. And also, you know, that I'm just so grateful for this family.
Hi, I'm Diane, and a candle of joy for my beautiful granddaughter, Rachel, who married Nathan yesterday. Looks like he's going to be a keeper.
Hi, I'm Amy, and I would like to light a candle of joy that Ollie Schminke and their partner, Natalie, could be present with us today. This is the first time that Ollie has performed in a UU church, so I am so excited and grateful that it could be ours.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I just wanted to light a candle of concern for my parents. My dad has dementia, and recently went through an aortic valve replacement. And my mom is really struggling with something.
We light a final candle for the joys and concerns which we hold deeply, but which have not been named today. Suppose one day you woke up in a different body. Everything that is not your body, your thoughts, your feelings, who and what you love, that picture of yourself inside your head, all of that is unchanged. But your body has flipped sexes. If you were previously biologically male, you are now female. If you were previously biologically female, you are now male. And if you were not biologically determined, pretend you now are, either male or female. What would be different? Do you feel whole or split? Mind and body working together or at odds? When you get dressed, are your old clothes still right for your body? Do they fit you properly? Do you feel the need to get new clothes, new underwear? Will people accept how you dress? Are your shoes comfortable? Should you wear makeup? If you have jewelry, can you wear it with your new body, or do you have to replace it? When you are out in public and need to use a bathroom, which one do you use now? How would your spouse, lover, boyfriend, girlfriend react to you in your new body? What about your parents or siblings? How would others look at you? If you were straight before, would you suddenly be seen as gay? If you were gay before, would you suddenly be seen as straight? How would you look at yourself? Is your new body beautiful or handsome? Does how it looks suddenly matter more than it previously did? Matter less? If you were male and became female, would you suddenly earn less money? Would people treat you differently, value you less? If you were female, become male, would you suddenly feel safer? Would you feel empowered? What pronouns would you use, would people use when they refer to you? Would you say that your body is lying about who you are? Would you set about hiding or changing your body? Now hold those thoughts. But imagine one more thing. Imagine the same flip I just described. But instead of it happening suddenly, one day when you wake up, imagine instead that you were born this way, that your body and your mind in this flip state to you is normal, that there is no disjunction inside you, no confusion. You and your body are whole. It is what you have always experienced, how you have grown up. But will the world accept you like that? Please join me in a few moments of silent thought, meditation, or the spirit of prayer. Who am I? Why am I here? These are big questions all of us face as we build our identities. How do we answer these questions? We can look to religion. Creation stories, like those of the Bible, tell us we were created in the image of God, created male and female. But religions and their stories tend to work at establishing and maintaining a cultural norm, one that in many cases seems oversimplified and outdated. It may help us, but it also can be weighted with other baggage, things like sin and shame. It can be proscriptive, how you should be and should act according to some rule set other than your own. We see it used all too often today to attack difference, to call things abominations. So we can look to science, biology, and psychology. We might search the internet and find a diagram like the genderbread person, version 2.0, that tries to explain more of our complexity, to show how our minds, our bodies, our hearts, and our outward expression all work together to form who we are. But even this is incomplete and still flawed. It is like trying to look at ourselves from the outside. And there are still prescriptive labels that we may not personally accept or even use to describe ourselves. So how do we, as Unitarian Universalists, approach this question? In our search for identity and meaning, what do we bring? We might boil our principles down to these four things. I am whole. I am good. I am equal. I belong. I am whole, not just a body, an object or a thing, not just a mind, disembodied, floating, but mind and body in the world. No part of me is missing or lacking. I am a whole person in myself, and every other person is also whole. I am good, like creation itself, not without faults or shadows. I am capable of ideals, ethics, morals, of changing, and every other person is also good. I am equal. I am not above or below another person in a hierarchy. My intelligence, my physical attributes are all uniquely mine, and they make me different, but not better than or less than someone else. And every other person is also equal. I belong. I am part of the interdependent web of all existence, joined into a larger community. I am in relationship always with the world and with other people. I, like them, am trying to find a home, a place that accepts me, that I feel part of, where I can be known, be loved, be understood, be welcomed. And because this is a covenant among us, these statements are true for everyone. We are whole. We are good. We are equal. We belong. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our centering hymn number 1002, Comfort Me. Speaker and presenter today is Oliver Schmeen, a genderqueer poet activist. So I invite you now to listen to this voice.
Hey, everybody. Are we awake right now? I yell a little bit more than Paula, too. Okay. Are we ready? All right, we're just going to, like, jump right on into some of my poetry, and then I will talk a little bit more. Okay. The first time I ever touched someone else's breasts, it was like discovering the seven wonders of the sexual world, the Great Pyramid of God, this shit is awesome. Sometimes people ask me when I knew I was queer. I'm pretty sure I knew before I touched the boob, but after the boob. Oh, after the boob, everything was made clear to me. One boob, two boob, big boob, small boob, to hold them in my hands or mouth, to feel them pressed against my chest. I am a certified boob enthusiast. I love the back arch, the small side. Touching these bodies almost makes me believe in God because I don't trust nature to create anything this good. But I also know that most gods punish more than they forgive, and my own body feels more like a guillotine than a gift. Sometimes people ask me when I knew I was transgender. They ask me if I feel like I was born into the wrong body, as if gender is that simple. As if my body is a pair of handcuffs chaining me to housewife, to mother, to woman. I am not trapped in my body. I am trapped in other people's perceptions of my body. My body is something I can only love from afar. A mistress I can only caress in secret. It is death by way of choking, and I have no air to even call for help. I tell myself that top surgery is expensive, it's dangerous, the back aches from binding aren't really all that bad. Besides, I love boobs on other people, why can't I just love my own? But when I tell people my name, they still use the wrong one. I say not girl, and they give me back woman, lady, she. I say not woman, they say silly girl. It is not up to you to decide. And I don't want to hate my body for this. My body is not wrong. The way people talk about my body is wrong, but my body is the only thing I can change. My best friend asks me why I want top surgery, a voluntary double mastectomy. He asks me why I would want to cut off a perfectly healthy body part. I tell him it is not healthy to feel unsafe in my body. This chest feels like a misplaced sex organ. If you had a penis growing from your elbow, you'd probably want to cut it off. People would come up to you and talk to you about your elbow penis. They would never let you be anything more than your body. I am more than my body, but these days, I can only love my chest like a good cry. When my friend says I'm a burial ground, my life becomes a constant funeral, and there's no way I can be happy with all of these ghosts living inside me. So stop calling me disease. Stop looking at my body and chaining me to whoever you think it makes me. I was not born into the wrong body. I was born into a world that doesn't know what my body needs. So that's that. Also, I was raised Catholic. And so to do this poem in a church is quite a, I don't know, write it down in my diary. So I am Oliver Schmicki. I'm a non-binary transgender person. I am from a very small town in rural Minnesota. I'm very excited to be here. I'm very happy. Thank you, Amy, for inviting me. I think this is super great. Oh, yeah, I told my friends that I was going to go, like, be part of a sermon at a church, and they didn't believe me. But here I am, and this is so cool. So I'm just really happy to be here. The next poem that I'm going to do for you, I was actually entering a love poem contest judged by Garrison Keeler. He did not pick my poem. But here is my love poem. To the woman I was raised to be but will never become. People say they feel you in the high notes of my voice. The stranger at the gas station glances at my 5'2" and confuses me for you. Calls me ma'am. People send me your mail, addressed to Miss. Yours is the only name they allow me at the airport, on my taxes, in the doctor's office. They have made me illegal. I am illegal. I think about cutting off my breasts. I think about which hormones will carve you out of my voice the quickest. I am panicked to shake you off of me, like a dog's paw stuck in the mouth of a steel-jawed trap. It would be easier if I hated you. If I could throw you away like a used condom, but I can only ever love you like a scar. The proof that I could have died, but didn't. When we were 14, a priest told you renamement, rebirth. It was supposed to make us feel more like God. When that boy dug me open at 17 and twisted my virginity out of me, you and I still smiled in all our pictures. This rebirth was a stubborn creature, too dignified to mourn in public. We were an economist, frugal woman, finding comfort even in cigarette smoke and the feel of other men with hands just as rough and tongues probing. Each touch could be considered love if we just pushed hard enough. But I'm not even allowed a number for my blood. Rape statistics file all of this under your name, woman. Our history still lives inside of my chest. You were God for me that weekend. Jesus was dead. But it hurts to breathe you. You water choking of my lungs, you a body that fits too tightly, Renee. Every time I look at my body, I want to slice your hip bones off of me. The way people see my curves and expect me to sign your name. But this transgender does not mean I want to pawn you off like a stolen organ on the black market. It just means that you were never mine to own. People stare at my chest when I introduce myself. They are searching for you there, but woman, they will not find you. You are the hornet nest, the ghost, the grandmother who died before I was born. Woman, I do not know you. Even though I wore your costume for years, I do not know what you look like because I am not you. I don't know how else to say it, except that the opposite of rebirth is to die anew every second. And you were thousands of skulls hung heavy on my neck. I was not born again until I shed you and named myself. This Oliver is the skin that finally fits me. It is like the first time I saw the ocean. I ran in and licked the salt off of my hands. It didn't matter that people were staring and that I was years too late and years too grateful. This Oliver is the moment Noah noticed the floodwaters draining. It is when the dove came back. My new name is the promise of land. It is the moment I smile without hesitating. It is the difference between swimming and drowning. It is the only way to keep my lungs full of the sky. Woman, I love you complicated. Like a first breath. Like a scar. So that's the thing. Being trans is complicated. That's what that poem says. And, okay, so, oh, I don't want to go to my next poem yet. I want to talk to you a little bit, because you're a lovely audience. So, I'm a non-binary trans person, and, like, most people grow up with pronouns. I grew up in a town where, like, you just gendered people the second you saw them. You were supposed to be able to tell, but, like, I'm one of those beanie babies in the middle. I'm, like, all those beanie babies in the middle. So I use they, them, their pronouns, and people are like, oh, but they is plural. No, it's not. It can be both. It's magic. It's a shapeshifter. It can do everything. So the way to use the singular they, because people often don't know, is you just use it like you would, like you were talking about a plural, you know, they are. You can refer to me as they are, you know, like they did that. They were awesome. And so things like that. So that's how that happens. If you have, like, questions or you need, like, extra practice, there are, like, even, like, practice sheets online that you can use. It's very exciting. Okay. And then I have a final poem, and then we'll chat a little bit more. So the thing about being trans is that it doesn't exist in a vacuum. Like, all of the concerns and joys that you guys are sharing are, like, a lot of things that I've experienced in my life. I mean, like, both of my parents are very ill. I mean, like, I am a survivor of sexual assault. Like, all these things happen still. You know, it's not like I just get to be trans and then, like, everything else is like, oh, you got enough shit to deal with, I'll just go away. not how it works. So here's a poem. And, you know, it introduces some things about my life that are more complicated, you know, and how, like, my transgender identity intersects with other things that I have to deal with in my life. This is the familiar story. When I walk down the street wearing my body and people try to baby honey it off of me, except that some days I do not know if they will call me a dyke or a faggot when they sink their teeth in. If my binding is convincing enough for them to yell their compliments somewhere else, or if this binding just makes me a boy too pretty to be passed up, do not mistake me. I know how to play the game. I know how people stare when I wear lipstick. I know how people stare when I wear a dress. I know how their stares turn from hunger to disgust the moment they see my armpit hair, as if I'm a cake not frosted up pretty enough. I know how then I become an eat if you dare. And when was the last time you saw a real man turn down a dare? I know how it does not matter what I am wearing, except if I'm wearing the smell of a boy, or if they mistake me for a boy, or if they do not mistake me for a boy who is also trans, or if they do not notice that I am trans, or if I'm holding my partner's hand and she is just a tastier target, or if the two of us together just means they get to yell twice as loud, or if I can collect their jealous glares in my coffee cup and spit them right back. It doesn't matter what I'm wearing. Or it always matters what I'm wearing, because I have to walk home alone at night, and because I have to walk in the world at daytime, and because I have to be wearing something, and I can't take the fact, and it is a fact, that the headlines would have recorded my outfit as tight-fitting if I had ever reported my rapist. The first time I was raped, I was wearing a turtleneck. This is supposed to be a safe garment choice, but I guess it was too tight and he could see some of my human underneath. How indecent to exist. How indecent to wear skin over your bones. How indecent to have a mouth that sometimes says no. Last week, when I visited my mother in my hometown, a voice yelled, "Damn, girl," from a car. I did not know whether to respond with, "Fuck you," or "I'm not a girl," or a middle finger, or "Thank you." So I did what I have always been taught and kept my mouth shut. But really, there was no one to tell. When each cat call is marked under women's issues, I know there is no space for trans people like me. My trauma does no work for the movement. The not woman, not boy, too pretty but with too small biceps. The not woman, not boy with an affinity for lipstick and tight pants. The not woman, not boy, unwilling to be called woman just for the sake of a support group. It is not support to be stripped of my gender and reduced to my breasts. The women who run these groups should know this. And so, I'm the not woman, not boy who learns silence from every side, whose mouth only opens so that it can close. Okay, so that's sad. You are like, I want to go to church and be sad today. You're welcome. So that's basically my critique of the mainstream feminist movement and how it is not trans-inclusive, and it should be, because transgender people experience a great deal of violence in our everyday lives. Also, I don't know if you guys knew this, but, like, statistically, the suicide attempt rate for the general population is 1.6%. Less than 2% of people in the general population try to kill themselves. In the transgender community, it is 41%. And I think that says something, that the world is a place that almost half of us don't want to live in. And so I think it's really cool that what you're doing here is, like, combating that. That makes me happy. I know, I just went from, like, suicide to congratulations. And that's a rough transition. Okay, anyway, so I'm just going to end my little spiel with another thank you. I'm so happy to be here. This is so lovely. Also, like, giving me hope that, like, religion and church can be experienced in a way that's not coercive and terrible, a.k.a. Catholic. Yeah, that's very nice. That's very nice for me. Other things you can do to be, like, trans-inclusive in your daily life. I don't know how many transgender people live here, because we're kind of, like, in the middle of Wisconsin. And I live in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. And so we have a lot of trans people, and we're kind of around. But you probably do. I mean, like, I grew up in a very small town in Minnesota, and I was, like, the only one. But we exist, and we are here. Like, see us. Don't assume people's genders. Like, the Beanie Baby showed us, you don't always know. You know, like, we are complex human beings. If someone tells you their pronouns, use them. Like, I have so much faith in your ability to master the singular they. It's ridiculous. I will be hanging out in the hallway with Paul after the show, but this is not a show. So if you want to come say hi, I am very friendly, despite all of the anger in my poems. I'm actually a nice human being, and you can come say hi. I do give hugs if you like them. Feel free to, like, find me on Facebook. I have a book that you can buy on the internet if you want it that has poems in it. Blah, blah, blah. That is my well-rehearsed, very professional speech. Once again, thank you all for having me so much, and I hope you have a lovely rest of your day.
It can be difficult for us as you used to just listen. Especially when that little voice in our heads keeps telling us, hey, we're not guilty of oppression, that what is being said doesn't apply to us. Our first principle, to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person, is good enough, isn't it? Or maybe that and some bumper stickers. But how do we live up to that ideal? How do we express it? We have to recognize the privileges each of us has given to us simply because of how we look to others. And to see those We need the mirror of others to look back at ourselves and to see those privileges. We need to hear their stories, to see their lives, to hear the critique of all of us. All social justice movements move forward as victims bear witness to their oppression. We need to encourage leaders, those who put themselves out there, often through art, those who tell their stories, people like Oprah Winfrey, Ellen DeGeneres, Laverne Cox, Bethany Black, Eddie Izzard. If we are not willing to listen, aren't we as much as telling a person to be silent about what is important in their lives? When we listen, we need to do so with radical empathy, to step into the experience, not back from it, with a yes, but approach. We do not have to be transgender to be supportive. We can be allies. We can move out of our comfort zones. How do we successfully join into groups that support each other? We have to share language, accept how each of us names ourselves, how each of us describes ourselves. We have to learn a new language, one that is rebuilt to be inclusive, one that does not prescribe who anyone is, but allows us to be taught by each other. We have to accept the language others give us when they express themselves. This is how I am known. This is how I'd like you to talk with me, to represent me. We have to learn the names, the many, many names of who we are. Alan, thank you for your courage to stand up before strangers and present your art and your experience. And thank you for your trust in us.
Oh, soul, you worry too much. You have seen your own strength. You have seen your own beauty. You have seen your golden wings. Of anything less, why do you worry? You are in truth the soul of the soul of the soul. Please rise in body or spirit and join me in singing our closing hymn, number 1008, When Our Heart Is in a Holy Place.
Thank you.
What hurts you blesses you. Darkness is your candle. Your boundaries are your quest. Take what you have brought to this altar of life back out into the world. Take your passion and your joy, and do not let them be diminished. There is work to do, and we have everything we need to do.
Yeah.